It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, Z and I talk about Halloween 2020 activities and spooky memories, working election polls, voting, and driving to NYC for a day with a huge to-do list. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Staring deep into my brain fluid core of my eyeballs.
Serious business.
Wow. Did you know that the inside of your eyeball is actually like liquid?
Can we start the podcast?
It's hollow. What? I learned this at the New York Hall of Science, one of the many times I took our children there, because for whatever reason, even though it's like usually it was like 30 minutes of like, we're interested, and then just like, we're just kind of like wandering. We would watch they used to do cow eye dissections, which I missed out in middle school.
Mm.
Middle school in Western New York, in our part of the town, you would do a cow eye dissection at some points, but it's only on one day. So if you miss out, like I think I was sick that day or something, yeah, you don't get to see the inside of the cow eye. Yeah, how about you? Did you dissect anything?
I think we did an eye. I don't really remember right now.
Hmm.
I did dissect things, and I actually, I liked it because it was really precise work, and I like really precise work with your hands. I always have. And anyway, we should slate because we didn't do that yet. This is the Puppet Parent Podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we should do
That's
that.
That's what you mean. Yeah. So my name is Chad.
My name is Z, and this is the Puppet Parent Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We are puppeteers, we're parents, and we have a podcast. And just to catch you up, if this is your first time listening or watching, we also are streaming live on Facebook.
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube. So if this is your first time tuning in, the quick recap is that the week of March 17th, we started recording these episodes because we were stuck in our apartment in New York City. Then June 1st, we decided to migrate from New York City to Western New York, and we have been staying at Chad's parents' house, and we have continued to stay at his parents' house indefinitely until it is safe for us and makes sense for us to go back to New York City. And we are having a residency at the Springville Center for the Arts, and that's where we're recording from. So that is your little update of where we're at.
The amazing studios of the Arts Underground, which there's one place in this entire underground facility that used to be a dojo and a gym and a fallout shelter. And there's only one place that gets heat, and it's right here. So I'm feeling really good about
room.
That. So when we ticked over the heating system from off to heat, we started to see like parts of the vents start turning on in this area, and we're like, oh yes,
heat.
I felt like a lottery winner actually when that happened.
I was happy it worked.
I was expecting it to heat like the closets way over on that side with the art supplies and not our closet area.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I knew that the heat worked because it was actually on when I first toured the space. At the end of March, May, at the end of May, when I came 2 days before we came with the kids and all our stuff and everything. Wow. So, yeah. Anyway, we're so happy to be here. Thank you to Springville Center for the Arts for the residency. And then this podcast is like a weekly recap of how we're doing, what's up with us. And, you know, if you're parents, we hope that you can relate. If you're puppeteers, we hope you can relate to some of the things that we've been going through. So
Miss Recap. I think you would win if there was a recap championship. I would tip my hat in your general direction and then give you a medal.
Well, and thanks. It's a nice thing for people.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. You know what? I've been kind of down the last couple of days, so I'm just kind of like just powering through life, because sometimes the you get depressed, like the nihilism starts creeping in and. Like life is meaningless starts to creep in, and you know, you just gotta like get through it until you feel better. You ever if that happens to you out there, well, solidarity, you know, it's time to chuckle it up a little bit, and hopefully you'll wake up tomorrow and you won't feel like you did like the last day or week or however long.
Do you think that some of it, like some of your blueness, has come from being back in New York City for one night?
Well, let's talk about that.
We went back to New York City for one night, by the way.
By the way, you're expecting everyone to say, what?
One night. What? We went for one night from Wednesday to Thursday.
It was crazy. We went on a road trip where, like, in less than 2 days, we went back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was like our cat had like hardly missed us, but she missed us a lot, actually. So we drove there. We woke up, ate a breakfast, fed the cat a bunch, drove to New York City like it was nothing, and voted immediately, because that was the plan.
Because it was nice weather on Wednesday, and we didn't have appointments scheduled for Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Thursday was going to rain and be really cold, and it was. Wow, mm-hmm. So thank goodness we got
through.
So
we early voted. Look, yeah. See, I have my sticker.
You were just crazy prepared for this. Amazing. So if you're listening, she parted her hair to one side, revealing an I voted early sticker that was hidden until this point. Amazing.
Yes. So we voted, and we had to wait in line for 45 minutes, but mm-hmm. It wasn't so bad. And that was 45-minute wait was from the beginning we stood in line to the time we left the voting place. So that included voting. So that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, and Queens, as like a microcosm, Queens every single day of early voting got less and less and less time. We are now 2 days away? 1 day away from the election. It's November 1st while we're recording this.
It's Sunday. The election's Tuesday.
Yeah, and each day the line size has gone down, so... Next time, I'm kind of thinking about this. All right, next time. So we'll early vote maybe like a couple days out.
That's what we did this time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because people that were really super excited to vote, early votes, had to sit in line for hours, even in Queens.
But you know what also happens is that the poll workers are figuring out their rhythm too. Mm-hmm. And so as much as you prep for the day, and I've been a poll worker before, so it's actually... kind of a bummer for me to not be a poll worker for this election, because I signed up to be a poll worker 2 or 3 years ago and worked a couple of elections with the idea that I would work this election because I wanted to do that. But, you know, with everything happening, you know, you always have to, at least I feel like it's important for us and for me to be here and to be safe and not to have that level of exposure right now. So I'm not being a poll worker, but you know, what's really cool is that, there are other people in my life who have become poll workers. And at least one of them has told me that it was because, I inspired them to do that. So, you know, that's pretty awesome. And it's great to know that there are, really, kind, conscientious people who are basically volunteering. I mean, you do get paid a bit to do it, but it's also like it is a slog of a job sometimes, because you have to get up super early and then you have to be there all day. The early voting shifts are actually not as bad as the day of election shift, which is you arrive at, I think, 5 a.m. is it? And I think the polls open at 6 a.m. and then you don't leave until mm-hmm. everything is done. It depends on where you are. Some places, you're really not allowed to leave the building. Other places, like where I was working the polls for the last couple of years, you are allowed to leave to get lunch, but you have to come right back. And you're not allowed to eat there. There's a lot of rules. But it's...
Yeah, you're not allowed to eat there. But didn't they have, or at least at the early polling place we went to, didn't they have, like, pizza that they were offering us?
Yeah.
On the way out
I'm
there.
Just saying there's rules. Whether or not people follow those rules is a different thing. Also, early voting is different than election day voting. Election day voting mm-hmm. is, like, it's but I think things are easier now too because of the iPads. Like, we had to sign in on iPads,
right?
And that really reduced the amount of time that you needed in order to figure out, like, which table do I go to for my district? I don't know what my district is. Am I at the right table? Oh, I'm not at the right table. That eliminated all that, because that was always a big well, what'd you call it? Traffic jam, I guess.
Yeah, but like you go into the space.
Hurdle.
And if you don't know what table Speed you bump. Have to go to, because there, there's like 15 tables and they all represent a different district. And if you don't know, you have to like stop and then look at your card or go and find somebody and ask them, where do I go? And it's,
You have to go to the information table.
And I was expecting that, right? So the guy who flagged us in, he said, go to table one. I was immediately like, "What? No, we're like 39, you know, and then we went over there and you just sign in on an iPad, which is great. What's your name? That's it. That's all you need.
It's all in a database, so they don't need to find you in a giant book anymore. So
yay.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
It's really great. I think that it's really going to improve things quite a bit. It was fun having those giant books because, like, one of the things that you would do as a poll worker, sometimes people come in as a family, or sometimes, like, a husband would come in before a wife comes in or something, but they have the same last name, or different family members have the same last name. So you would be able to see, like, who from your family has or hasn't voted yet. So sometimes you'd have people saying, aha, I beat this person, you know, because they could see up and down around their name, like, who hadn't voted yet. Or they'd say, why hasn't Timmy voted yet? I'm going to call him right after this. So.
Well, maybe you could just check your Facebook feed and see who hasn't vote bragged yet.
Oh.
You're like, let's get on them.
I've been very Facebook reticent lately. I haven't really posted much of anything.
That's good.
I still look on there, but I just don't post very much. So,
well, good,
I don't know.
Good for you. It's a horrible disease, social media.
It
can be. I feel like
you know what? I can't say that, though. I can't agree with it because
I was kind of a little sarcastic in that.
Well, but it's maintained my connection with a lot of different people that I don't get to see. And also there are people who are homebound outside of the pandemic, like my friend Lindsay, who has ALS. And, you know, Facebook has been like this conduit where I really don't have time to engage, but I am consciously always checking in on her. I don't know, Lindsay, if you will ever listen to this podcast, but just know that we're always thinking about you. And I appreciate what Facebook has to offer in terms of getting to see her and be in touch with her and stuff. So
no, I get it. And, you know, I think like last year I was like, no more social media, stopped doing personal posts, felt good to not be like constantly looking at my phone. Then in March, it just felt like, well, how's everybody doing? You know, you have to look on your phone, or you have to, you know, you have to look everybody up. And it felt like a great and easy way to connect with everybody, you know, just like easily go onto social media and be like, hey, how's it going? And now I feel like I'm back in the old habits again of just like that crazy moment is over, but it's kind of nice to just see the people in my feed, like, you know, what are you up to today? Or how's it going? Or stuff like that. So I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings about it. I mean, if you're watching this live, unless you're on YouTube, you're probably on Facebook. Right, and that's where we post our stuff. That's where our demographics for our public company, like our audience, hangs out. And I love watching stuff on TikTok, man. Like the stuff that the cool kids are up to is awesome. Man, I just watched this great thing about bees. There's this beekeeper on TikTok who has the most soothing voice. And she like shoots little videos where she's like, this roadside bowling alley had an infestation of a bee colony, so let's go inside. And she's just showing you her POV of her just like rescuing the bees and holding her hands in there and like telling you like little facts. And I don't know, that there's so many great things to spring out of the internet, and I feel like, you know, sometimes the good outweighs the bad.
Just depends on what you're looking for, you know. Like I just look to see, like, how are my friends doing? Show me some cute kid and baby pictures. I want to see all your kids dressed up in cute costumes, or you dressed up in a cute costume. Or I want to know if you need help with something. You know, and I feel like I'm in a healthy place with that. I just haven't felt like sharing much about myself. And I feel like I get that fix here every Sunday. You know, I get to talk about it, but I don't have to visually share it. And anybody who's like super interested in our life can, you know, make the time to listen. Yeah, and anybody who's not, it's all good. So how was it for you being in New York City? You hadn't been back in almost 6 months. We've been out here for 6 months of today. Today's 6 months of being living somewhere that's not our home.
We're living in living in my semi-childhood home. Like from 14 and on, I lived in this from 14 to off and on when I was in college, you know? Yeah, I mean, it felt great to sleep on our bed, let me tell you.
That was a very comfortable bed.
Let me tell you, Grandma, modern beds that aren't on box springs are where it's at. We have this solid memory foam block with like this jelly like
it's
topping.
Pillow top.
I don't know what you call it.
It's a pillow top.
No, it's like got gel or something. I don't know.
It's a cooling bamboo pillow top. I bought it. I bought the mattress. I'm telling you.
So, we didn't have room for my pillow at home. I have pillows, and they're great. And they're like sculpted, like I don't know, like a feminine figure or something. It's like it's got
waves.
These humps. Yeah, these waves. Thank you. Man, waking up in the morning and not like, you know, like standing up and listening to my spine go like, which happened every single morning. But since I've been stretching every single morning, doing like a bunch of yoga, it was fine. But having that not happen made me feel like, okay. So thankfully we were like, this is like the third load, but we brought a bunch of stuff back to Western New York with us now. So who knows how we're going
to
get it all back.
With a U-Haul when that's safe to use.
Yeah. So, but no, it was interesting. It was like this weird feeling of nostalgia and excitement because it's so, it's kind of easy to be here because we're in a shared space with people who make dinner, you know, for everyone half of the week and look after the kids. You know, it's like we never got that when we were new parents, you know, because none of our family or relatives live near us.
And we didn't have a nanny or anything like that.
Yeah, we can't afford that.
Well, a lot of people in New York City have nannies, so I just feel like I need to say that. And I realize that most people who are listening to this might not live in New York City, but it's very common in New York City to have help like that or to have a house cleaner. That's even, I think, more common than the nanny. Is to have a house cleaner, and we didn't have that either.
No, we thought about it. I just couldn't get over that hump of like having like hiring someone to come in and clean our place. It felt like a special, like maybe like an anniversary gift or something. But then whenever I was close to pulling the trigger on it, you know, I just feel like, man, I could just do it, and you know, so I never went for it.
Right, I didn't push you about it either.
But it's something that you wanted?
I considered it because so many people were doing it. So I started thinking about it because then suddenly you're like I heard Chelsea Handler last night talking to Trevor Noah. It was an amazing interview. And I think I just have to watch her special to see now because, I mean, that the interview worked because Chelsea Handler, I'm going to watch her special. But I've been a fan of hers for a while. And I realize that she's a bit controversial. But I think overall, her and I are aligned on a lot of things. And she's a woman, a female comedian. She's funny, and she has had a lot of personal growth within the media. Anyway, I'm saying because my understanding from that interview is that she's from the East Coast. She's from Jersey, and she moved out to LA, and she's like, you don't think that you're going to be suddenly, like, drinking kale and, you know, doing, like, cryogenic saunas or whatever and, like, talking with people about, you know, like – how I don't even know what funny thing she said there. But anyway, she's like, you don't think that that's going to become you. And then suddenly it's like, oh, my God, that's who you are, because that's what you were surrounded by for so long. And it just creeps up on you. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how she learned that she was not as empathetic as she thought she was.
She what? And she recently realized this?
Listen, people have different levels of personal growth at different points of time. And I'm really proud of her for having gone to therapy, realized this about herself and then being so public about the acknowledgement of it. So anyway, Chelsea Handler, I'm going to watch your special. I'm like making time for it and I'm really excited about
that. I feel like that's her whole shtick is like she's this tough broad who, you know, just like lays it all out on the table and like me will occasionally get in trouble for saying really like how she feels out loud. Because we're in the misinformation age, sometimes the things that you're really riled up about turn out not to be true, or it's more complicated than maybe what you thought.
Yes.
You know, and then you get in trouble, especially because she's a rich celebrity now. Those people we like to skewer like constantly, right? So it's like you can't say anything controversial if you're like that, or people will always bring that back up. Like, remember that one time you said this, but really this, you know?
Anyway, I don't want to say too much about the interview, but if you haven't watched the interview with Trevor Noah and Chelsea Handler, I just watched it last night. It was great, and now I'm going to watch her special, so I'm really excited about that. And if anybody else wants to watch it and then let me know what you thought, you can message me, and I will maybe message you back. I'm not great about that.
All right. We demand a review next week on the podcast.
I will review it. I'm in the mood to watch some good stand-up.
I want to hear it. So, I don't know if you guys know. But Z is really into holidays. She's really into holidays. And she expresses her love for these holidays by making sure that the kids have a good holiday, whatever that is. Right? Have I said anything that is not true?
No. Okay. That's all true.
And this is a lot of love, by the way. I'm not ripping on you at all. But if you're feeling self-conscious about it, I can... walk it back.
That's all right.
I want to intro all the amazing stuff that you did yesterday because Z came up with this stellar, incredible plan. I joked that it was like a Pinterest Halloween, and she's like, no, I came up with this stuff on my own.
Oh, no, not all of it. No. I mean, a lot of it was from Pinterest.
Some of it was really, really cool, and you really went all out, and the kids mostly stayed really engaged throughout the entire day. She had an entire day planned of Halloween activities. It was at least like 20 things. And so I just want to give like a brief overview because everybody has their Halloween COVID story because this is like a very memorable Halloween, right?
Well, yeah. And you know, Leaf and I, especially, and Finn too, he just hasn't, I don't think, expressed it in the same intensity. We're feeling really sad about not being able to go trick-or-treating. That's a big part of Halloween. You only get to do it so many times as a kid. And I knew that we were not going to go trick-or-treating in any capacity because it's not the same. And we're not home. And so then I just decided about a month ago that I was going to make up for it in some way and just have a day filled with a lot of fun, hopefully, that the kids would enjoy. So that's what I had a lot of different activities. And I was trying to keep in mind, too, because our older son, Leaf, tends to only like ideas that he's come up with. So if you present him with an idea and say, now we're going to do this, his immediate response, even if he doesn't agree with it, like his own response, he will immediately say no, even if he doesn't feel that way. He'll just say no. So I wanted to keep that in mind, too, because I didn't want to plan all this stuff and then not be able to do any of it because he would say no. So I had all these different kits. That I put together basically of different games and stuff. And then I wrote down names for all the games. It was very organized. And I put them all in different colored little pieces of paper and put those pieces of paper into a jar that I found. The jar happened to look like a Santa Claus. So I put a mask on him and called him Halloween Santa. Masked Santa.
Yeah, now it's a thing. It's a total thing. Masked Santa is still. By the way, Finn was reaching into Mask Santa and pulling out more of those note cards today.
Well, there was one left that we hadn't pulled out, so.
Yeah, he was still having fun with Mask Santa today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we had a whole bunch of different things, and included in it was, like, of course, carving pumpkins, because we hadn't done that yet. But then we also did, like, treat find. I can't think of what I called it, but like I had hidden little bucket, tiny little pumpkin and skull buckets all around the deck. And a treat hunt. That's what I called it, treat hunt. Mm. And then we also had candy corn cauldrons. And so we had these little mini cauldrons that also came with the pumpkins. They were like the same size. And I attached them to this box, and you would throw little candy corn pieces and try to get them into the cauldrons. And bingo, we played candy corn bingo.
For like specific bigger candies.
Yes, yes. Because if you won bingo, then you could pick the candy. But I mean, everybody got to pick the candy.
So you use the candy corn as the bingo pieces.
Yes.
To fill up your bingo card.
Yep.
And it was a little hard to get Leaf not to eat the candy corn.
Because
it's right there. I mean, it's right in front of you. So.
But I did not restock the candy corn.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not just gonna give you candy corn all day.
No.
Oh, we did donuts on a string, so I called that silly donuts, and we hung the donuts from the above, and then they had to not use their hands and eat the donuts. It was very silly.
and our youngest one was just like, nah.
No,
after a while, and put his hands under his shirt,
in his pocket,
so it's technically not using his hands, and used that to like mush the donut into his face and eat it off the string.
And we did one craft activity. We made these little flappy bats out of coffee filters and clothespins.
Flappy bats.
And, yep. And then the grand finale, because I wanted to do something besides just light pumpkins at night. And all of it involved candy of some capacity for the most part. Like they were earning candy, they'd get candy, they'd found candy. So that by the end, their buckets were similar in scope to what they would have received at a Halloween trick-or-treat. And I also was conscious to purchase the type of candy that I never buy, because the fun of Halloween is that they get candy from people who get them things that I would never get them. And so then I was like, well, that's what they want. They want that candy that I never get. And so as much as it's like, oh, God, the dentist, the teeth,
went to the dentist.
I know.
But this
is Halloween. Like, you cannot mess with it.
Yeah, you can. For once, this is the only year in your life that you have full control over the candy that's going into those buckets. And you chose to get to just say to like whatever about that. Yep.
F it.
Yep.
I bought the Dum Dums. I bought the Tootsie Rolls and the Tootsie Roll Pops. And
he handed me
Sour
a Tootsie
Patch
Roll.
Kids.
And I was like, oh.
He loves them. He loves Tootsie Rolls. That's the thing. The kind of candy that I don't really like, he really likes. So anyway, the last thing was lollipop ghosts. So I took lollipops, Dum Dums, and wrapped them up in a white coffee filters, and drew little eyes on them. I mean, that's pretty common. People know about that. And then it was around dusk. I attached white crepe paper to the ghosts. And then while the kids were eating dinner, I went along. There's a path that goes into the woods by the house and then goes down to this like campsite area that they've worked on all summer. And so I attached the ghosts. There were 15 for each kid. One had a red mark on the on the crepe paper, and the other one didn't. And I attached them into the onto the trees along the path. And then we made these little luminaire lanterns with glow sticks in clear milk jugs, half-gallon milk jugs. And then it was dark by the time they were done eating, and the ghosts were all hung up. And then I said, okay, we're going to go out into the woods. And, like, I made a whole, like, silly story and made it silly spooky. And then they found...
Oh, that was great.
They found their ghosts.
And they had the white bags.
We called them spirits. Spirits,
there were white bags with glow sticks in them.
Oh, yeah, to light the path, the spooky path.
That worked pretty well. You know, better than just glow sticks by themselves. And then the glow sticks inside of the clear milk half-gallon containers was genius.
That was
your great.
Mom.
It was just a tiny bit of light, but it was enough to where they can hold it up and kind of find those the spirits waiting in the trees.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, because I had a big flashlight, I would just kind of like shine it no, that was a helpful. Little bit about like where they like, need to go next.
Maybe over there, guys.
Yeah.
Because I did not realize it was supposed to be a full moon. So I, in my head, I was thinking, oh, it's going to be really bright out at night. Mm-hmm. But actually, the moon hadn't risen by the time we were doing our thing. It was still like on the horizon. So yeah. It was dark in the woods. But they had a good time, mm-hmm. and it was fun. And nobody got, I was nervous that one of them would be too scared. Like, for whatever reason, even though it was, like, silly, spooky to do it, but that didn't happen. Everybody participated, and it was a nice end to it. And so we still got to do something at night on Halloween involving candy, where you run around a little bit. So
mm-hmm. And yeah. Can I just say, and nobody tried to scare anybody.
Because yeah.
That was just a staple of growing up in my family.
Oh,
was my dad would scare us like crazy, mm. get us out in the dark, and then you know do his like grab monster rawr, and then everyone screams and scatters. Yeah, it's hilarious unless you're a kid. And then oh. you would perpetrate that onto other people. That's the thing, right? And it would just spiral and spiral, and it would just happen and happen and happen. So I'm so grateful that we've not done that, and that's even now we're on like year 7, right? And it hasn't been the thing where we like purposely monster scare each other.
That was never a part of my Halloween. That was a part of like Girl Scout camp a mm-hmm. little bit, and actually the hanging up of ghosts. Oh, thanks, V. That's really sweet of you to say that. My friend Vanessa said that she wouldn't be surprised if the kids want to do the same activities next year, and that sounds like a really fun time. It was fun putting everything together, and I was hopeful that they would enjoy it, and they did. So that makes me happy, and I hope that my whole hope with all of this time, and basically their entire childhood, really, is that they'll look back on all of this and be like, that was fun, or my mom and dad are great. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. I want them to still like us when they're adults and to not be too traumatized by their youth. And
right. I feel like we're both on that, you know. But I feel like we have different ways of approaching that.
Yeah, we do.
I'm definitely, like, more hands-off. In that respect, like, I understand that the actions that I'm taking will lead to the outcome, instead of like, let's do this so you won't hate me when you're 30. does that make sense?
Means. No, but I mean, not to me, but maybe I missed a part because I was zoning out. I don't know.
It's all right. So if you're listening to this, kids, and you aren't, and you never will.
You don't know. They might.
Nah.
It's on the internet. The internet's forever, man.
Yeah, it's true. But this is more for, like, our friends. This isn't for the kids. Like, if my parents had a podcast, actually, that would be really interesting to listen to. Never
right?
mind.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. They are going to listen to this.
Okay, all right.
They're
I gotcha.
They're going to listen to this.
Speaking of listening, I'm gonna lower the volume on the microphone slightly.
Ooh, bring it down. Bring it down,
yeah,
Chad.
Yeah, there you go. All right, feeling better about that.
Anyway, the idea for the popsicle, the lollipop ghosts and hanging them in the woods and going out at night, that all came from stuff we used to do at Girl Scouts. And
that's
like
great.
The scaring thing, though, that also was part of Girl Scouts, like Girl Scout camp and stuff. But it was fun. It wasn't, I don't know, I enjoyed it. But I never did a scary Halloween. I did haunted houses and stuff, yeah. But not on Halloween. Like,
see, Girl Scouts sounds, like people asked me like why... Since I'm an Eagle Scout, why aren't our kids in Cub Scouts or going to be in Scouts? And that's because, like, all the nice things that you talk about Girl Scout camps, I just feel like, wow, that's so great. Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, we play this game called Manhunt, where we would hunt each other down. And it was like predator-prey stuff where, like, you're on the hunt and you're trying to find somebody. And when you do, it's like there's going to be a beatdown or screaming or, like, let's go get the others. I don't know. Like, I associate all that kind of like negative kind of stuff with scouting. And there was always like, I'm going to scare you or hurt you or, you know, like making fun of somebody. Maybe it was because it was like the 80s, 90s, you know, but there's like a lot of like, wouldn't it have been so much nicer if we were like hanging up like ghosts and going on like a spirit hunt like we did, you know, with our kids or you know. Like cute things, Cute, nice things. Can't we just have the cute, nice things, please?
It wasn't all cute, nice stuff at Girl Scout camp, but I really enjoyed Girl Scouts a lot. And I guess I was just really lucky that almost every single time that I did anything with the Girl Scouts, whether it was with a troop that I was in or at some kind of Girl Scout camp where there was lots of Girl Scouts from all over, or any kind of larger Girl Scouting events or trainings, any of those times, the credo, which is one of our part of our Girl Scout law, which is treat every scout like a sister. Well, to me, treating them like a sister meant, you know, being really kind, and everybody was like that, you know. And if they weren't, other people would call them out and be like, "Hey, that's not very scout like." You know?
Wow, that's really cool.
Well, it was important. I don't know. It was just really important.
ours were definitely full contact sports. As soon as the scout meeting is over, we're full contact sports in the backyard of the Moose Lodge.
Well, you had religion too in your life, and I don't want to necessarily talk much about religion, but
it was the same after church, full contact sports in the parking lot after church.
I just mean to say that I didn't really have much religion in my life in terms of like anything that was like regular, but what I did have was Girl Scouts. And I think for a long time on my Facebook page, like my religion was Girl Scouts, because that's the closest thing to religion that I've ever had. I am Jewish, but I didn't go to temple regularly, but I went to scouting meetings regularly my entire childhood up through when I went to college. So
there's a lot of parallels. I mean, you're all chanting together, mm-hmm. right? The oath and the law mm-hmm. and stuff. And there's a bunch of rules you have to abide by. Mm-hmm. There's a uniform. Mm-hmm. You're doing good things out in the community.
You level up. There's things to look forward to.
There's like an elder who comes in and runs the ritual, mm-hmm. the ceremonies and stuff.
There's so many positives that I could talk about Girl Scouts. So actually, one of the things... that makes me sad a little bit as a mom is that I don't have I don't need to have a daughter, but I wish that I could just to be able to have them in Girl Scouts. And I understand why, like, you have big reasons why the boys won't be in Boy Scouts, but not having scouts in our life and having kids is like tough. But
I'm all about you don't need scouts to do the thing to do the. Like our favorite things about scouts, you know, it's
makes
like
it easier.
We don't need you don't need to go to a regular weekly meeting at some kind of hall in order to have friends and go camping, because the have friends and go camping
I like
club
the structure of it.
Can exist anywhere.
I like the structure of it. Anyway, we're on two different planes about it, and that's okay. But I got a lot of ideas and inspiration about like what I did yesterday from scouting. That's all I wanted to say. And mm-hmm. that the scaring thing is that is also a part of scouting, but fun for me. So
scouting to me was like the big kids will always win, and it's totally unfair until you're a big kid and then you destroy everybody, because that's what you've been longing for.
Yeah, that's also part of scouting. But you know what? I also yearn to be one of those big kids. I could not wait. I was so excited to be a leader. I'm still excited to be a leader, and I don't even have my own kids to like be a leader for. So, and there are co-ed scouting groups around us, but we would have to start our own because there's nothing in Astoria, Queens, and I do not have the bandwidth to start it myself. I could help a little bit, but we went to a training meeting of how to start your own. I don't remember what the name of the co-ed scouting group is that's by us, but I went to a training meeting and there was a lot involved, and I just felt like I can't be in charge of all this. I'm not going to do it up the way it needs to be done. I'd be happy to help, and I think everybody was feeling that way too. So I'm looking at the chat. Sorry.
Yeah. Hello, friends. Thanks to everybody who tuned in to listen live. We record live at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sundays, or at least we did back in 2020. I don't know when you're listening to this, but man, it's 2020 right now. I just watched this beautiful sketch comedy bit that's been going like every few months. She will tape a new one. I forget the comedian's name. She's a YouTuber. Early on in the pandemic, in April, she made a cute video about like time traveling back to January to tell herself, you know, like what's going on. She's like, "Oh, you're me from the future? Wow. Well, the defining moment of 2020 has to be the Australian wildfires, right?" And she's like, and April her is like, "What? Oh yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. It's been forever." And she's like, "Well, what's there's a whole bit about like she can't really tell her what's going on because it would interfere with time travel laws or something, but she is just like, no, things are really bad." So in June, she put another video out where that April version of her gets visited by June version of her, and she gets to like laugh and talk down to her like the same exact way, but like, "You think things are bad now?" And she just released one in October, a few days ago.
Oh.
I mean, like, "June, you thought things were bad."
Oh, no.
She's like, "Well, at least the sky's blue." He's like, no, it's orange, actually.
Well,
what a year.
Yeah. But in a week, next podcast, you know, we'll either not know more or we'll know more.
Who knows? What's gonna happen. I think everyone's hoping for a landslide victory because of all this early voting. But as usual, it boils down to just like a handful of states and cheating or not cheating. So we'll see.
I don't believe in cheating, but I do.
I believe one party cheats all the time. Remember the year 2000?
I want to believe in the integrity of our election.
Supreme Court stepped in the year 2000, young ones, and said, "Hey, so it all boiled down to Florida, and there were votes that one party was throwing out because of something called hanging chads, which I heard about from my mom for years, which means that even though their horrible ballot machines poked where they were supposed to poke on the
punch card,
it didn't punch all the way through, and so the Republicans said we have to throw all those out. And it was something like very small, like 4,000 votes decided the election. And because it was so hotly contested, the Supreme Court decided to step in and legitimize the Republican candidate. And then a year later, he took us to war. Yay! Instead of fixing the planet, we hurt millions of people.
Well, I mean, there's been so much talk about cheating in the elections and everything, and I just feel like, you know, I just want to believe in the election process as much as I can, and I just hope that it's okay.
Whatever gets you through the day.
Thanks. Yep. you know why? Because it makes me crazy. It starts to make me feel crazy. If I can't trust the things that that are supposed to be trusted, then I start to feel like, what can I trust? And then we go down the road of where maybe you've been at the last couple of days. That's how decades. I get there. That is a surefire ticket. That is a one-way train ticket to sad crazy Z, and I don't want that.
Let me give you some good news. So
tell me.
One of the dumbest ways that Republican governors and I want to say even mayors, but the governors of certain states were using to disenfranchise Black and other minority voters was to do the signature test,
which is
rooted in segregation.
No, I agree with that.
Awfulness. So if you don't know,
I don't agree with the signature test. I mean, I agree with what you're saying.
Thank you.
That's not right. And there's a lot of things that people are doing to disenfranchise voters to make it more difficult to vote. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of that voter suppression is totally real and not okay. But far as like actually trying to like throw away ballots, I mean, I guess that has been happening. But
oh yeah, still,
I can't think about it that much.
What I said was, here's some good news. Would you like some good news about voter suppression?
I guess we didn't get there fast enough.
Signature test. They've been throwing them out. The Supreme Courts of those states took a while, but they've been throwing it out and saying, no, this is terrible. Why would you do that?
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know about every state, but what I've heard is that the signature test, which is awful, and I remember a certain governor when they first instituted it, which if you don't know, it's to make sure that there isn't any voter fraud, I'm doing these air quotes, they put these systems in place where you have to sign on like an iPad, mm-hmm. right? But your signature has to match up. And if it doesn't match up within a certain percentage, you can't vote and you are not allowed to vote at all. When it was instituted, the governor failed it. He tried and failed to reproduce his own signature. I forget the state.
So a state's governor.
A southern state. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so you had to get it like basically perfect in order to have your vote count. But thankfully, they've been throwing those out. But the people who gerrymander and rig and cheat will always come up with new, you know, innovative solutions to cheats. And who knows? Maybe we'll be seeing that in like a day or so. We've seen all kinds of voter suppression attempts to be happening in this election, as usual.
I'm just going to be so relieved when Tuesday's over. That's how I feel. I just want it to be over.
Yeah. No, it is. It is a relief, right?
I just want this time period to also be over.
Which time period?
This. I'm ready to be back at home, but that's not realistic right now. And the reason it's not realistic is because if the kids are going to continue to do remote learning, you can't continue to perform shows out of the apartment, like at the same time.
Well.
No,
we tried
hard.
It. No, it's true. It's not going to work.
It's hard, and we did it for like 2.5-3 months, mm-hmm. but it really was starting to take a toll on our family a little bit, you know, having to be quiet, so quiet, and especially if you, the more shows that you get, which is good for you, the more we have to be quiet the whole time, mm-hmm. and it's not realistic, and so... You know, the reason to go back is if you're able to perform outside and not in the apartment anymore and the kids are able to be at school safely and we feel like we can trust in it. And I mean, their school is in session and going to school, and it's a very tiny school, but it's not where we live. So we would have to drive them, 30 minutes each day to the school. And then there's that level of trust and I don't know. I just don't want. We've gotten this far, and as far as I know, we didn't get it. So I just don't want to get it if we don't need to get it. Like, let's just try not to get it.
Let's not get sick.
Yeah, let's not get sick.
So yeah, no.
Right.
The only reason we go back is you know when the vaccine happens. You know.
Well, like, you keep saying that.
We need a shot in the arm before we go back.
I mean, the vaccine. There is no vaccine yet, so I can't. I can't say. I don't feel like I can say that out loud. I don't know when we go back, but we go back when it feels like we can live in the apartment and not have to use it also as our performance space.
Once I get a shot in the arm, once everyone's getting their vaccines, right? Like that shining vaccine on the hill. When that happens, then I don't have to stream anymore. Will there be streaming opportunities? Yes, but they will be far less.
Yeah.
Because everyone will be back in school.
And then we might even have, you know, enough to financially have a space for you to perform in that, you know, or something. I don't even know what that would be.
Let me paint a picture for you. So imagine. Winter to spring 2020, the vaccine, many vaccines from different countries are popping up.
I'm trying to envision it.
Our states, because of our awful federal government, either have or have not the infrastructure to distribute all the vaccines, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has until the start of school, fall 2021, to get their vaccines, their documented vaccines, mm-hmm. Done, get all their health stuff squared away, and maybe we'll be streaming over the summer, maybe not, who knows, but the first day of school, fall 2021, once everyone's vaccinated, we will not be here because there was such a huge change from what we were able to do during the summer to what we suddenly weren't able to do in the first month of school. You know, I feel like mm-hmm. everyone was really gunning for things to change, or they knew they had to change for the first of the school year. So I predict, and I'm putting this out there, mm-hmm. everyone will get their complicated mess all together and done by the beginning of the next school year.
Yeah, that's my hope. I don't know if that's my prediction, but that's my hope. Mm. I don't even want to share any predictions that I have, honestly, okay, because I don't like any of them.
Okay.
I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm scared about what the future might look like, and so I just I don't know. I remember first coming to you at the end of February, beginning of March, and being like, Chad, you know, this is going to happen. And you trying to talk me off the ledge, and me being like, no, I'm not being crazy. I'm being real, and we got to get ready. And then you were like, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And then I list them all off, and you were like, okay, slow down. But I still am in that place of like, I've been ticking them off the list of each thing as it goes. You know, it's like, well, I don't want my worst case scenario predictions to come true, but it feels like
that's what's been happening.
So
I get that. It's okay.
Yeah.
So
sorry to be a little green cloud, everybody.
So to close out.
Oh, are we closing out? Okay.
This episode.
Well, this is a weird episode, Chad.
Aren't they all really? I mean, you start listening to a puppetry podcast, you get what you get.
It's not really about puppets, though. It's
not,
more
not
about
not this
us.
Time. Not this time. But so what is, because this is Halloween 2020, you know, we did it indoors mostly.
There's some outdoor parts.
A lot of people had different ways to still trick or treat like before. What were some of your, like, growing up Halloween memories that were really impactful or that you still remember?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh,
I'm asking you to.
The first time I got to trick or treat without my parents.
Ooh, that was when was that?
That was with my neighbor, Mike Clapsaddle. And
is that his real name?
Mm-hmm.
That is his real name.
I don't know what happened to Mike.
Clapsaddle. That's amazing. I love that name.
Two doors down. And we got to go trick-or-treating together. And that was the night of the infamous snow on Halloween. Like collective lots of snow. Like I think it was about 6 inches of snow that came down that night.
Wow.
And so then and I had to walk past the graveyard on Myrtle Street in order to get back home because I had gone way down Myrtle to trick or treat. So it's like snowing. I'm with Mike. I'm the older kid in this situation.
Wait, was this the same kid that you like? You like your childhood next door neighbor friend,
mm-hmm,
who you were always like because you were older, getting
nice
to do things. What?
We made each other do things.
No, I was just remembering like one time where like you made a ramp. And you had like your power wheels or something.
Well, no, the ramp was built into the sidewalk because we had horrible sidewalks on Myrtle Street for a long time.
Yeah.
So there was like a dip in the sidewalk. And I woke up one morning and I was like, this is the morning that I will prove to Mike that I can do a wheelie bigger and better than anyone has ever wheelied in their wheelie life. And so then I got on my bike and I started all the way at the other end of the corner on Myrtle Street, the corner of Myrtle and Craigie, I think is what that other street is.
Oh, wow.
And Craigie Street. And then so if you Google Maps it, you know exactly where I'm talking about.
Is it a hill?
Yes, it goes downhill, not steep, but enough that you can gain a lot of momentum on your little one speed. And so I'm like pedaling as hard as I can. I'm going to show him. I don't know where this like competitive streak came from. I'm older than Mike, like a year older at least in school. Mm-hmm. And but I was just like, I will do the best. And then I hit that sidewalk little dip so hard that my bike flew out from under me, and then I landed on the ground, and then my bike landed on top of me.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I showed him. I showed him.
Showed him something.
That was me. I would wake up some mornings and be like, today I will do this thing. And then I go to Mike and be like, guess what we're going to do today? And he was always pretty like, you know, yeah, okay.
See, that's what having like a sibling when you're like a kid is all about.
I doubt that he ever talks about the girl No? Two doors down.
Like, this one time, this girl wiped out on her bike right in front of me.
He
and
probably doesn't remember
hurt
it all.
Herself so bad. It was gruesome.
I'm sure he has his own wipeout stories. I mean, he had like a clothesline tee in the back of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And clothesline tee is like one of those metal things that looks like a tee. And it was like cemented into the little patio right. space.
You hang clothes on it.
Yes. But they only had one clothesline tee.
Oh.
I think maybe the line attached to the house on the other side or something. But the clothesline tee was an amazing gymnastics pole for a kid who wasn't taking gymnastics. Because
mm-hmm.
in my head, I'm like, I'm going to be a gymnast, even though I'd never taken a gymnastics class in my life.
Yes.
So I would run, catch the clothesline tee, swing, 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 like I'm at the Olympics. And then I would let go and stick the landing. And so one day I woke up and I was like, today I am going to get further and I'm going to stick that landing like nobody's ever stuck their landing ever. And so I'm like so inspired by, oh my God, what is her name? There was a Retton, Mary Lou Retton. Was that her name?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yes, I think so. I was really inspired by her. She was a gymnast, and I was going to be just like her.
Is that where she broke her leg, but she still stuck
the
landing?
No, that's the Carrie Strug and Shannon, what's her face, year. That is after.
Okay, different, okay.
Yes,
okay.
No, Mary Lou Retton was more when I was really little. So I run at the clothesline. And I've already told Mike.
Yes.
Mike.
So he's witnessing.
Yes. You need to understand that you have to let people know that you were there when I stuck the landing of this most amazing gymnastics feat. I've never taken a gymnast class in my life. And I'm also not very physically able. So I run at the clothesline tee. I swing. I jump. I leap. I grab. I swing, swing, swing. I basically swing my body until it's parallel with the ground.
Yes.
That high.
Oh.
And then I let go. And my body, if you can see my hand, it goes boom. Like right onto the ground, onto the cement.
Oh.
I'm sure I got a concussion. I like black out for a second. Then I come to and you know, no parents.
No.
There's no parental supervision in the 80s. And I'm like, oh, Mike, I did not stick the landing. And then I put my hand behind my head and I'm bleeding and I'm
oh no.
So then I go home like, oh, Dad, because my dad was the only one that was home at the time. I'm like, I'm bleeding. He's like, what did you do? And I try to explain to him and he's just like, are you stupid? And I'm like, because you can't put a Band-Aid back there. But I basically cracked my head open. But did I go to the hospital? No. It was the 80s. So I'm okay. But
now we know. Now we know, don't we?
So my clap saddle, if you're watching, I hope you had a great life. I don't know if you remember either of those
things.
So the next
day you wake up and you're like, puppets.
No.
Puppets.
That wasn't until later, but that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? Okay. Why did we talk about that?
Halloween in the
80s. Oh, yeah. Walking with Mike.
Yeah, and the winter, winter Halloween. And
oh, I remember
cemetery.
Seeing kids using pillowcases, older
yes.
kids, pillowcases to collect candy.
Right.
And being like, that is such a good idea. and then always, like, there would be people who would be handing out candy to the little kids and being like, oh, you're so cute. And then they'd see the older kids who just had a mask on and they'd be like, ugh, I have to give them candy. And I thought, that's not nice.
What's up with
everybody
that?
Gets candy.
That's still a thing. Like, that hasn't gone away where like, older kids aren't encouraged to trick-or-treat. But, like, you know, you want to hold – it's like the older kid, like, holding on to something precious or fun, you know? Because if you push them away, where do they go, you know?
Halloween loses a lot of magic when you don't get to trick-or-treat anymore.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, that was, like, the big thing. And so, anyway, not getting to trick-or-treat with the kids this year – was intensely sad, and so I just wanted to do something that made it special.
I think you did a good job.
Thanks, Chad.
Yeah.
How about you? Do you have any Halloween memories?
Yes, I do. I remember my mom telling me that I couldn't wear a costume.
Oh, that's a bummer memory.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a lot of bummer memories. That's really formative bummer memories.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it something that you wanted to dress up as?
Yeah. Well, so You know how like I'm not very crafty, or at least that's what I put out into the world.
Okay. He's totally crafty.
I couldn't come, like, usually I would just, whatever my brother wore, I would wear the next year or in like a couple years. We had like a closet with a garbage bag with costumes, and Eric, my brother, would, you know, like come up with these really cool or creative ideas, and then I would just kind of like, you know, take that on like a couple years later. This is what like little brothers do, you know. So one year there was this cereal that we really liked that had this awesome commercial. It was called Big Mix, and I think it was like this idea that the cereal companies had to take their, you know, whatever the dregs, or they're just like left in the machines from like all these different cereals, and just combine it into one cereal. It was called Big Mix because it had like Corn Flakes and Rice Krispies and like all kinds of stuff in there, and like the oat nut clusters. I loved it. It was my favorite cereal.
Oh, I don't remember this.
And like parts of it would get soggy faster than the other.
Oh, that's funny.
And the mascots. Was this before Man Bear Pig? That was like Man Bear Pig Chicken. It was this weird mascot for Big Mix, and it was like all these different animals like combined into one weird Tasmanian devil chicken moose thing. and so I got the idea one year to take just, I was just in the bag, the garbage bag full of Halloween stuff, and I put it all on at once. And I was like, look, it's Big Mix. Because I had like the cat tail and the chicken beak and stuff. And my mom told me, no, no, put that back into the garbage bag. And I was so bummed. I think I went as a chicken for like the second year or something. And I still feel resentment.
And this is why I'm concerned, because I'm sure she didn't think it was a big deal at the time. And here we are, like, so many years later, still frustrated about it. My kids are going to be in therapy for forever. Like, I hope that they don't say
As an adult, I see it as, like, a lesson of, I don't know what was going on in her life right then, right? I don't know what she was thinking, or if she knew it would be a bad idea, or thought I would get laughed at, or wanted me to wear something warmer, or whatever. None of those reasons came out. It was just no. And so as an adult, as a parent, I'm looking back at all those bummer memories, not just feeling like I would have done it differently, but more just like, okay, you're going to say no to your kid at some point, right? How can you say no in a way that explains your reasons in a way that your child will accept? Because the kids hate to hear no. It's the worst thing, like a control point, like dinner or going to bed or drink this, you know, or stop picking your lips, they're bloody, you know, stuff like that. They hate to hear that stuff. They hate to hear you say no. So how can you make it more palatable, right? I feel like you gotta set yourself up for success in that, like, you already have a good, healthy relationship with them. And they know that you're not gonna, you know, like, BS them or just say no because I said so. And then two, you gotta list your reasons. I would have loved to have known 80s mom why you thought it was a bad idea instead of just no. Because to this day, it's like, it was almost like I don't want to dress up as a character anymore or anything, but I just feel like, why? How come? Why not? You know? And so whenever our kids have an idea, I always tell them it's a great idea first, you know? And then if we're going to say no, we talk to them about it. And maybe that's like a sea change of like parenting back then versus parenting now. I don't know. But yeah, that is a bummer memory from one of many bummer memories from Halloween.
Oh, wow.
My parents will probably say, you had a great time on Halloween. You got so much candy and, you know, you dressed up and you had a good time. But I feel like the memories that stick with you are the ones that are really emotionally charged.
You know what else I remember about Halloween?
Yeah, bring us back up.
So on this podcast, I've talked before about living very close to and growing up near the Gen Z Country Museum, which is an 1800s reenactment village. And they would have a Halloween day every single year, and that was super fun because you get to dress up in costume at the Genesee Country Museum, and then all of the old-timey houses are doing Halloween, and they're handing out like old-timey things like wooden nickels and licorice pipes, which tasted horrible to me, but I just thought they looked cool, and hard candies. And they had the best was they had this storyteller who came to the Genesee Country Museum and told stories. And
spooky stories.
Oh, gosh. He was so good. He was such a good storyteller.
Yay.
Yeah. And, in fact, recently I was speaking with somebody who knew him. They knew exactly who that person was. And wow. I was like, who was I talking to? Oh, it was Valerie from Buffalo I've been doing those things with. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was her. Because, oh my gosh, he was amazing. He was such a good storyteller. And I just remember sitting in the front row being like this. And he would tell like the story of like the boy who drew cats or something.
What's that?
And it's like a boy and it's like,
tame ghost story?
The way he told it. Okay. And he had to hide behind these paper screens, mm-hmm. you know, like in a cupboard or something. And like all the cats came out at night and they were all talking to each other. And like there was a king cat and it was spooky and crazy. And he That's also cool. told like an Edgar Allan Poe story. And
yeah.
oh, but his voices and his bill and the way he just gotcha. It was just so good. And he like was wearing all his 1800s garb too.
That's
so
nice.
Yes. And there was a headless horseman. There was a headless horseman that would ride through the village, too.
Ooh, that's cool.
So cool. And, like, it was only a few times during the day. So if you saw him, it was like, oh, my God, the headless horseman.
Wait, during the day the headless horseman would come out?
Well, you weren't at the village at night. They didn't do after hours things really so much back then. Maybe they do now, but they didn't back then. Hmm. It was really cool.
That's fun about this storyteller. Usually for kids' storytelling, you have to, like, not use your storytelling powers for evil.
It wasn't evil. It was spooky enough.
No. I'm saying, you know, respect. You know, you have to ride the line super. You can't go over or you're going to traumatize somebody. You know, you have to be like super gentle about your spookier elements. Because I did it a couple times. You channeling my dad, who was a great storyteller, but he would go way too far and realize he went too far and then try to backtrack. But by then, you're too far in. Like, he would tell us a story about... this guy who's just stuck in the woods under a pile of leaves, but he'd do it in such a way that we were completely terrified.
Aww.
Completely terrified, and then he'd backtrack it to kind of like throw in a jokey ending, you know? But my dad, if you're other dad and you're not listening to this, you were still infamous at all the parents of all the children who went home that night and was like, let me tell you what Mr. Williams told me.
Oh, boy.
That's a part of it, too. It's like... To bring it all back to puppetry is like when your audience leaves, your child audience, what are they going to tell their other parents or friends about like what they just saw and how is that going to impact you and other puppeteers or storytellers or what have you? So it's like something else to consider because we're doing a show. We're making a show right now with monsters in it. Yeah. And it's kind of like, well, like. You put monsters in a show with kids, they can't be too dopey, but they can't be too scary. Mm. Maybe a little bit of both. Or maybe you got to build it up.
We'll see next month.
We'll see, right?
Before we sign off, I just have to do a quick plug for the Sesame Street podcast on Audible. So there's 4 or 5 episodes that are out now, and you should listen to them because they're super fun. It's called Foley and Friends, and it's on Audible. It's an Audible exclusive, but they have a 30-day free trial. So you can sign up and listen to those and let me know what you think. I play Foley, and it's just super exciting to have that kind of... role on Sesame Street, and if you really like the podcast, maybe you can give a little rating, a little 5-star rating. That would be nice. You know, it's nice to see that. But yeah, I'm always happy to do these little episodes with you, Chad. And
thanks.
Yep, we do it every week when we can. If if we're not in the middle of
something. Only a couple times we've not recorded because one of us was sick or we were in the move or something.
Or my back was broken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but we got through that, right? How's your back feeling?
It's fine. Yeah. It was like a one-off thing.
Now you've had a little taste.
I'm Elastigirl.
Little taste into chronic pain land.
No. It was just a couple days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So thanks for listening, everybody. We're the Puppet Parent Podcast. I'm Chad and Z. We tape this live on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so please join us then. Thanks for everybody in chat, Allie and V. And
Uncle Tom was watching too. I don't think he said hi, but you're there. You're there, Uncle Tom.
All of our friends watching. That shout out to Sarah up in Boston and we didn't even get to talk about this, but I'm certain there will be a fundraiser for the Puppet Show Place Theater.
Yes, and when that happens, we will do something special.
Yes, because we want to support it. We want to make sure that it's still around.
Yeah.
No matter what, and we love that place, and we love the people who work there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see you next time. Listen to our episodes over at puppetparentpodcast.com. Oh, I'm going to click the end. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.